This is an iHeart podcast.
When I told people I was making a podcast about Benghazi, 9 times out of 10, they called me a masochist, rolled their eyes, or just asked, why?
Benghazi, the truth became a web of lies.
From Prologue Projects and Pushkin Industries, this is Fiasco, Benghazi.
What difference at this point does it make?
Listen to Fiasco, Benghazi on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
You are listening to the Jesse Kelly Show. My name is James T. Harris. I am a talk show host out of Phoenix, Arizona. 550 KFYI, 790 KNST is how you can listen to my show, The Conservative Circus. And this is, we're in strange, uncharted territory. When you think about this, uncharted territory. What are we saying? Well, we have the jury that's deliberated. People are waiting for the results of the trial, the New York trial, the Stormy Daniels trial, Chris, what did they call this trial? I get confused with all the other trials going on here. Not the pay to play trial. This is the hush money. Thank you very much. The hush money trial. And I don't even know what crime was committed here. I think they said he used his hush money for campaign, whatever. I don't know. The foregone conclusion is that he's going to be found guilty. And then we don't know. Will they send him to jail? We don't know. We hear that the New Yorker, somebody's supposed to be talking with the Secret Service to try to work something out in case that happens. You know they're going to send him to jail. First of all, we can hope against hope that we have some decent people on the jury. We can hope for a mistrial or, my gosh, to be exonerated. That would be incredible. But the judges set it up to where he just pretty much say, you can find him guilty of anything you want. Just find him guilty and we will respect you. If that happens, do you not think they're going to throw the president in jail? Oh, you know it. So what we're watching here is a kabuki theater. Now, of course, I can pray that I'm wrong. But now, no, I don't think I am. I don't think I am. Meanwhile, let's look across the media landscape. Have you seen what's going over at CNN? Have you been tracking their ratings? Holy cow. CNN is tanking. CNN, what is mainstream, their nighttime television, I should say mainstream, primetime television, they have like 82,000 viewers from the key demo of 25-54. They have like 80,000 viewers. That's nothing. I mean, my Instagram page has over 40,000. My Facebook page has over, almost 500,000. Well, what did I have bigger influence than CNN? Think about this for a second. Think about this. Think about Joe Rogan. Joe Rogan's podcast, the most listened to podcast in the world. His podcast dwarfs anything that's seen on CNN. Why does Anderson Cooper still work there? Who was it that way? When they kicked Don Lemon out, who was that woman? They put that woman in, she was in the mornings. Caitlin Collins, that's her name. Caitlin Collins, beautiful, beautiful woman. But when she opens her mouth, oh, Lord. Dude, what did you say? CNN. So what are they doing? They're trying to get anybody on that show. And I still say, since my infamous walk off of CNN, which was probably about 15, 16 years ago, I haven't been back since. That's how I am. But I say that if you decide that you want to go on CNN, and you are truly a conservative, you better make sure that the I's are dotted and the T's are crossed. You better know what you're talking about. And I have to give a little bit of depth to Senator Tim Scott. Of course, Senator Tim Scott, he is one of the Republicans that's vying, the sort of auditioning to be the Vice President of the United States. He's not my first choice. But James, he's supposed to be. You're both Americans of African descent. That's not the deciding factor for me. That's what got me in trouble back in 2008 because I didn't go for Obama. I didn't know it was a big deal at the time, but I ended up in USA Today, Essence Magazine, you know, the subject of radio shows and stuff. And I was just getting into radio at the time. I had no idea that I was making such a splash, a national splash for not voting for Barack Obama. But James, he was going to be the first black president. I didn't care. He's going to be the first black socialist to be president as far as I'm concerned. And I don't like socialists. He's going to be the first communist. He's going to be the first Trojan horse. And you know what? I was right. And those people who still walk around with the soft, warm glow of voting for the first black president are vapid. Vapid, I tell you. They're the same people talking over there at CNN. CNN sat down with Tim Scott. And they wanted him to discuss a new campaign ad that was put out by the Biden administration. What are they talking about? Well, you know what? What else can Biden possibly talk about? I mean, they pretty much burned all their bridges, right? If they're not talking about race, then what in the world is it for them to really talk about?
I want to turn to something you mentioned at the beginning of the interview, which is a rally that the former president held in the Bronx on Thursday to try to win over black and Latino voters. I want you to watch a new ad from the Biden campaign this week.
Donald Trump disrespecting black folk is nothing new. It's why Trump stood with violent white supremacists, warned of a bloodbath if he loses the next election, and if he's president again, vowed to be a dictator who wants revenge on his enemies.
So, Senator, what do you say to black Americans, black voters who watch that ad and share those concerns about Donald Trump?
Oh, my. Donald Trump is against black people. Donald Trump is against black folk. That's why he... What kind of commercial, campaign commercial is this? Listen to the voice and everything. Donald Trump is against black folk.
I want to turn to something you mentioned in the interview, which is a rally that the former president held in the Bronx on Thursday to try to win over black and Latino voters. I want you to watch a new ad from the Biden campaign this week.
Donald Trump disrespecting black folk is nothing
new.
It's why Trump stood with violent white supremacists.
White supremacists.
Warned of a bloodbath if he loses the next election.
Bloodbath.
And if he's president again, vowed to be a dictator who wants revenge on his enemies.
They got to pull out the bloodbath.
What do you say to black Americans, black voters who watch that ad and share those concerns about Donald Trump?
Well, I would have to say that, you know, the Biden administration is full of bullshiggity. That's what I would say. If I were Tim Scott, I knew he didn't say that. Oh, they said there's going to be a bloodbath. The tone and inflection. They can't help it. They're pandering. They can't help it. And they're spreading fear porn. Did it work? Senator Tim Scott.
Well, here's what I can tell you is that under Donald Trump, we were better off. There are two things that are driving black votes back to Donald Trump: jobs and justice. Number one, under Donald Trump, our wages were going up. Right now, fairness is going down. But if you're really concerned about racial justice in America, let's not forget Joe Biden is the guy that talked about racial jungles as a result of desegregation.
He did. He did. He racial jungle. I'm not sending my kid, you know, to the jungle. He said these things. How can he get a complete pass? Joe Biden has been saying racist things for decades, and he gets a pass. And he gets a pass. Now they put out this racially charged commercial. Why? Because of the successful Trump rally in South Bronx. I still can't get over that. The Democrats thought that they were, you know, hampering Trump. They're keeping him tied up in court. We're not going to let him out there and campaign. That's going to slow him down. And then by the end of it, we have to get Trump out. We don't have anything to talk about. He doesn't say stupid stuff because he's so scripted and so on point on our message before and after the trials when he speaks. And then what does he do? You know, before that, he goes around the Bronx and starts meeting people. He goes to construction sites. He goes to the police stations. He goes to firehouses. He has crowds of people just cheering for him. We love you, Trump, say the little BIPOC children. We love you. What does he do? He capitalizes on that. He goes to South Bronx, home of African Americans, the bluest of the blue, and 25 to 30,000 people show up. And then the left says, well, they weren't really Trump supporters. Shut your face. Yes, they were. They were from the Bronx, buddy. And Tim Scott, well, I think he's doing a really good job here. He's doing a really good job. We're going to talk a little bit more about what's happening with the black community and with Biden coming up next. The 2024 election is upon us, and the war on masculinity in America today is more blatant than ever. I want you to know that now is the time to choose strength and vitality over weakness and complacency. The problem is men's testosterone levels are off a cliff historically at an all-time low. And isn't that what the liberal elites want? A weak and docile underclass. Thankfully, the Patriots at Chalk, spelled C-H-O-Q, are here to help real American men take back their right to proudly maximize their masculinity by boosting testosterone levels up to 20% over 90 days. Now, Jesse's been talking about Chalk Vitality Stack for over a year now, and it has done wonders for him. Manufactured right here in the U.S. of A, Chalk's natural herbal supplements are clinically proven to have game-changing effects on your energy, focus, and mood. Maximize your masculinity today at Chalk. That's CHOQ.com. Use code Jesse for a massive discount on any subscription for life. CHOQ.com. Code Jesse for lifetime savings on any subscription. Limited time offer. Subscriptions cancelable at any time.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
You are listening to The Jesse Kelly Show. My name is James T. Harris. I am a talk show host out of Phoenix, Arizona. 550 KFYI, 790 KNST, our, you know, Phoenix and Tucson. Yes, sir. From 6 to 10, the conservative circus. A whole generation of kids knows little to nothing about our nation's darkest day, 9/11. The day our nation was attacked and 2,977 people were killed. Today, more than 80,000 people are suffering with 9/11 related illnesses. That day is still taking lives. The Tunnel to Tower Foundation's 9/11 Institute helps educators teach kids in kindergarten through 12th grade about 9/11. The 9/11 Institute offers nonfiction first-person accounts told through videos and the Discovering Heroes book series. Curriculum units with scripted social study lessons, activities for kids, and background for teachers so they can teach with ease. The curriculum teaches about 9/11 while teaching kids skills. The Institute has a speakers bureau for classrooms, providing access to 9/11 first responders, survivors, and loved ones, a mobile exhibit, a tractor trailers that's in an interactive museum with 9/11 artifacts as well. To never forget, we must educate future generations. Help our nation honor its vow to never forget. Donate $11 a month to Tunnel to Towers at T2T.org. That's T, the number 2T.org. We are talking about how the Biden administration is sieving. They're losing so many black voters. And what happened out in the Bronx, New York's, absolutely freaked them out. I mean, freaked them out to the point where they all came up with a commercial to try to combat it. They were bringing up stuff that's already been debunked. He said bloodbath. and they got a, you know, an American of African descent, at least I hope he was, you know, they had that vote. You know, that's how they talk to black folk. That's what he said to black folk. And then CNN is coordinated. They bring on Senator Tim Scott. You know, Senator Tim Scott from Cotton to Congress, the guy who they're kind of looking at as a possible VP nominee. They bring him on. And what do they want to talk about? Well, they want to talk to him about the new campaign ad. And they want to talk about, what does he think about this? You know, you had Tim Scott say, you know what? Black folks, everybody is doing better under Trump. In the Biden campaign, well, you know, they talk about how Trump disrespects black folks, but what about Biden? And what about, you know, Kamala Harris? Even Kamala Harris at one point in time was talking about Biden in a derogatory way.
The only person I've seen restraining black folks economically is the Joe Biden economy. So I find it quite insulting to suggest that Joe Biden does not have serious concerns when his own Vice President Kamala Harris said he supported segregation. And if you look in cities like Chicago today, the elimination of charter schools under Joe Biden resegregates schools in America. We need 4 more years of common sense under Donald Trump and not 4 more years of segregation under Joe Biden.
Okay.
That was perfect. And then you had Dana Bash. Oh, wait, well, you know, that when Kamala Harris said that, when you know that she was like, that was during the, you know, the primaries when she said that about, yeah, but she said it. She said it. Don't try to give her any cover. She said it. So you're going to try to attack President Trump for being racist. Oh, he said dog whistle. Well, you had Biden said he's not going to send his kids to the jungle. I'm not for desegregation. I want segregation. It's not working. It's not working. And then they'll send out Eddie Glaude. Eddie Glaude, he is over there on MSNBC. You see, it's very important that we get the black folks all scared. We got to rile them up. See, that's how we keep them in the corral. That's how we keep them on the plantation. We've got to talk slave talk to them.
Right. So first of all, what Trump is appealing to is what, you know, Frederick Douglass talked about in July 5th of 1852. He said there's a horrible reptile in the bosom of the nation. And that reptile for him was slavery. It was a certain set of assumptions, not just simply about black people, but about the superiority of white people to own black people.
What are you talking about? Why are we going back to slavery? How are you trying to tie that to Trump? Oh, wait a minute. I think I get it. What you're saying here, Eddie, is that Trump wants to put y'all back in chains. Wait a minute. No. That's what Biden said. They gonna put y'all back in chains. Oh, okay. All of this is because President Trump went to the South Bronx and blew the doors off. And then President Trump went to the Libertarian Convention and he got booed and stuff there, but he didn't care. He said, you know what? You can vote for me and win. You can do better than 4% with me. That's the most you ever got. Or you continue to lose. Come get your 2-3%. Oh, Trump got booed. No. Trump is going everywhere. He's going places that Biden won't go, can't go. And it's making a difference. Shermichael Singleton, he was on CNN. Well, not a lot of people watch it, but you at least you get to hear it. He's saying the same thing I'm saying. Trump is showing up.
Now look, I think going to the Libertarian Convention was smart. According to Gallup, they represent 17-20% of the American electorate. Maybe you shave off 8% of them. That can make a difference in a very, very tight presidential race. Regardless of the reasons, going to the Bronx, it's important. No one should be presumptive to assume that people of color are going to just vote one way purely because they're black or because they're Hispanic. That seems to be the case for my Democratic friends. And I think it's why a lot of people of color are looking at Joe Biden and they're realizing that my life is not better. When I go to the grocery store, things are expensive. The infrastructure in my surrounding community has not improved. And when I think about the future for my children, they're still in dilapidated schools where the educational system is deplorable. That's the Democratic message in my perspective. And so to have a Republican show up, whether he's being booed, jeered, whatever the case may be, he's showing up to places where Joe Biden is not, and I think that's going to make a difference.
I think he's absolutely correct about that. Showing up places where Biden is not, it is resonating. It is making a difference. And I'm telling you, I'm sitting back and I am loving it. Well, it's starting to get hot in the Valley of the Sun. That's Phoenix, Arizona. We have a heat czar, and yet a dire warning from Politico just hit the news today. I'm going to share it with you. James T. Harris sitting in for the Jesse Kelly Show.
Jesse Kelly returns next.
You are listening to the Jesse Kelly Show. My name is James T. Harris. You can follow me on Instagram, James T. underscore Harris. You can follow me on Twitter, you know, or you can just check out my show on the free iHeartRadio app, The Conservative Circus. It's on a 550 KFYI, 790 KNST in Phoenix and in Tucson, 6 to 10, Monday through Friday mornings. Yes, you can get up with the ringmaster, you know. When we look at what is happening across the country, and have you noticed that the left hasn't had a lot of time to really discuss climate change? We're having weather events. I don't know if you heard the other day, but you have Mayor Pete Buttigieg. He is now the Secretary of Transportation over there talking about how we're having more turbulence, you know, on airplanes because of climate change. Okay. At the same time, you know, we're supposed to be trying to help Mother Earth by driving electric vehicles, and yet we have the United States government spending how many billion dollars? $7 to $8 billion to build these EV charging stations, and so far they've only built seven. Seven! Looks like this is going the way of Solyndra. We have climate change. Climate change is being exposed for the hoax that it is. James, are you saying that there's no man-made climate change? Yes, listener, that's exactly what I'm saying. Man has not been given dominion over the climate. Oh, all we could do is screw it up. Plus, what is the ideal climate we're supposed to be at? In some places, like the South Pole, North Pole, it gets cold. If you ever had a 90-degree day in the South Pole, well, wow, we got to talk. What's going on? I live in the Valley of the Sun. If we ever had minus 20 down here, but whoa, this is not Wisconsin. What's going on? But you don't get that. But any little degree, we have a terrible, terrible tornadoes throughout the, you know, the Midwest. Terrible, more than usual. It's because of climate change. Okay, what you going to do about it? What you going to do to have less of this? Remember when Al Gore said that we're going to have these vicious hurricanes, there's going to be more of them over the next 10 years, and then we only had one. I don't think we had one during that time period. And yet, the left continues to fear-monger. Last year, here in the Valley, we had like the longest string of three digits. We were over 110 for like about, I don't know, 2 months. It was crazy hot. Then we started getting the statistics about heat deaths. And it was because of global warming. And then we had the governor of Arizona, Governor Katie Hobbs, who is probably the most hapless governor in the United States of America. She said, we're getting a heat czar, and we're going to spend gazillions of dollars. Well, what are you going to do? We're going to put up cooling stations, and we're going to have maps to tell people how to get to the cooling stations. Ooh. Politico came out with an article yesterday. Here's the headline. Just brutal. Why America's hottest city is seeing a surge in death. Climbing temperatures are colliding with a lack of planning in Phoenix. Hundreds have died. Oh my goodness. But we have a liberal governor, and we have a heat czar. Last year during the heat wave, I did a video that actually did pretty well because seeing that they got my foot on my neck with social media, shadow ban, all that kind of stuff. This one broke through. Now it's correcting the record based off an article that appeared in the Arizona Daily Independent, which is not like the left-leaning garbage news sources that, you know, that litter the state. The ADI is for real. And they gave you real numbers of who was dying during the heat wave. It was drug addicts, fentanyl, people would pass out on the street and literally cook. Now, I happen to do charity work on Sundays in downtown Phoenix, a place called The Zone. This is where you have just homeless people all over the place. Charitable organization called The Bridge for Community Service. And you also have a motorcycle club called The Ascendants. They're down there. They provide protection for the good people who are serving food and clothing and Jesus to the inhabitants of The Zone. Right in front of us, woman collapsed in the street. At first of it, maybe she's drunk, maybe she'll just come to. Nope. They went over and checked on her. She was fading fast. Had to call the paramedics. It was right in front of us. I could have tossed a sandwich and hit her in the back of the head. Paramedics came out, and it took like about five of these just shots to get her responding again. It was a close call. Here's what I'm trying to tell you. If that would have happened in July, that poor woman probably would have died. It's hot. It's 112, 115, 120. You can't lie down on the cement. You can't lie down on the pavement. You'll die. But these people are so drugged out. That's exactly what's happening. The political article, relentless heat led to 645 deaths last year in Maricopa County. The most ever documented in Arizona's biggest metropolitan area. The soaring number of heat mortalities, a 1,000% increase over 10 years, comes as temperatures reach new highs amid exploding eviction rates in Phoenix area, leading to a collision of homelessness and a record-setting heat wave. Well, let me correct the political just a little bit. Yes, people are getting evicted. But that's not who's on the streets in The Zone. I can tell you because I'm down there every week. It's not homeless people getting kicked out of their apartments, kicked out of their homes. You've got drug addicts and you've got people who have severe mental issues that are on the street. Those are the people that are getting caught in these heat traps. And you know what? I think the Arizona Daily Independent again. Otherwise, you would say, oh, it's because of homelessness and it's because of global warming that all these people are dropping dead because of heat-related injuries. No. These deaths are primarily drug addicts who pass out in the street. And it's a crisis. It is a crisis. But check it out. The Politico says, this crisis has left local officials searching for answers in a region that regularly relies on churches more than the government to save people's lives by offering them cool places to hide from the desert air. Churches, people have got people who love Jesus are down in the street trying to help these people. Government could be doing something, but all government is doing is counting heads and collecting cash. Stop it. Government could be the answer. But this is how the game is played. When you read about the heat deaths in Phoenix, God, you know, help us. But if that is going to be happening again this summer, know that it is not what the left calls global warming. It is not because of people evicted. It's because our liberal-run cities has no services, no means to get people off the street because they don't want to. Sonia Sotomayor, Supreme Court Justice, is very, very sad. Very sad. We're going to tell you why coming up next. James T. Harris sitting in for the Jesse Kelly Show.
Truth. Attitude. Jesse Kelly.
You are listening to the Jesse Kelly Show. My name is James T. Harris. I hail out of Phoenix, Arizona, where I have a talk show, The Conservative Circus, heard 6 till 10 in the mornings on 550 KFYI, 790 KNST. We are the biggest conservative voice in the great state of Arizona. Happy to be sitting in for Jesse Kelly. The 2024 election is upon us, and the war on masculinity in America today is more blatant than ever. I want you to know that now is the time to choose strength and vitality over weakness and complacency. The problem is men's testosterone levels are off a cliff historically at an all-time low. And isn't that what liberal elites want? A weak and docile underclass? Thankfully, the Patriots at Chalk, spelled C-H-O-Q, are here to help real American men take back their right to proudly maximize their masculinity by boosting testosterone levels up to 20% over 90 days. Now, Jesse Kelly's been taking Chalk Vitality Stack for over a year now, and it has done wonderful things for him. Manufactured right here in the USA, Chalk's natural herbal supplements are clinically proven to have game-changing effects on your energy, focus, and mood. Maximize your masculinity today at CHOQ.com. Use code Jesse for a massive discount on any subscription for life. CHOQ.com, code Jesse for lifetime savings on any subscription. Limited time offer. Subscriptions cancelable at any time. We've been talking about Samuel Alito earlier today. He came out with a letter. A letter in which the left says he threw his wife under the bus. Of course, he's under intense scrutiny because of two flags that were flying over his property. One, an upside down flag, which is the sign for distress. He explained that his wife was under stress for a few days that when they were flying that flag. She was being harassed by neighbors. And you know how nasty the left could be. They know that she is the wife of a Supreme Court justice. So she was there going off on her to get at him. Calling her all kinds of names. Nasty names. And I'm not talking about the B word. I'm talking about the C word. Ooh, she flew her flag upside down. They also were called on the carpet because they were flying a Christian flag. A flag that was flown, I do believe, during the Revolutionary War. Well, the left said that these are signs. These flags were flown during the insurrection. Forget the history. Judge Alito, you must recuse yourself from future cases, and specifically from the case where it has to come with the illegal documents. We can't have you sitting there. We can't have a 5-4 decision. Recuse yourself. He wrote a letter saying, I am recusing Jack. Look, I'm a Supreme Court justice, but I know who wears the pants in this family, my wife, and she has rights. She wants to fly that flag upside down. Well, gosh darn it, she will. She wants to put up a Christian flag, you know, to display her Christian values. It's her constitutional rights. You can kiss my assets. That's what he did. Alito today, he said that. Of course, the left, they're upset about this, very much so. Because they need to find a victory anywhere they can. Meanwhile, you've got Justice Sonia Sotomayor, the first Puerto Rican to sit on the bench, a woman who at the time said that she was qualified because she had breast assist. That's what she said. She said it to Senator Feingold. I remember because I was living in Wisconsin at the time, and Senator Feingold was from Wisconsin, and he cowed to that. Oh, she's Puerto Rican. She's female. She has breast assist. That's back when they knew what a woman was. Sotomayor knew she was a woman because she had breast assist. Whereas Ketanji Jackson Brown, she don't know nothing because she's not a biologist. But Justice Sotomayor She admits that she's very, very sad. Why? Because of conservative rulings. Conservative rulings, they drive her sometimes to her office weeping, upset. But she has to be strong.
If not physically, we must devote our lives.
Mm-hmm.
Mind you, there are days that I've come to my office after an announcement of a case and closed my door and cried. There have been those days, and there are likely to be more. There are moments when I'm deeply, deeply sad. And there are moments, and yes, even I feel desperation. We all do. But you have to own it. You have to accept it. You have to shed the tears, and then you have to wipe them and get up and fight some more.
That's right.
That's not a choice.
That's not a choice. That's not a choice. You know, Justice Sotomayor is too old to be going through that, you know, that period of life, you know, monthly thing, isn't she? That sounds like what it was, a little bit of PMS or something. She gets upset, goes to the office and cries. I'm just saying, she's a woman. This is what women do, get emotional. Can you imagine Judge Thompson? Sometimes, after a liberal decision, I go back to my chambers and I cry. I cry. But then I pull myself together and I dry my ears and I get back to it because that's what the job is. Can you imagine? Seriously? Is this what Ruth Bader Ginsburg did too? You ought to be crying that she didn't quit while she could. So that Obama could have put another justice in there. She's trying to hold on for a woman. See, this women stuff is tripping you up. You're gone from not knowing how to define a woman to sitting up in your office crying because you lost the case. Lord, have mercy. Help the people. Help the left. Help them. No, actually don't. And I was going to suggest that, you know, if she can't hand, girl, you can't hand her the fire, you got to get out the kitchen. But no. Stay for just a few more months. You know, after President Trump gets reelected, then go ahead, girl. Go ahead. You need to. You got a lot of life ahead of you. You don't need to be living this kind of stress. Plus, with the fact that President Trump will probably put some more justices if he has the opportunity to on the court, the kind that you don't like. He's not going to put up there based on the color of their skin or whether or not they have breasts. He's going to put them up whether they qualified and they're conservative. Just hold on for a few more months. And then sit down and enjoy your life. You don't have to be going through all the stress. Living in a constitutionally secure nation. Living under the rule of law. Interpreting, you know, cases that become, you know, come before the Supreme Court based on the Constitution. You don't have to do that. You don't have to. You did your part. You are a symbol to all Puerto Rican women since that they can sit one day, have the opportunity to sit on the Supreme Court. You don't have to go out like this crying and sniffling and looking all rough and toe up. Ha ha. My name is James C. Harris. It's been an absolute pleasure sitting in for the Jesse Kelly Show. And guess what? Guess what? God willing, we'll see you tomorrow.
When I told people I was making a podcast about Benghazi, 9 times out of 10, they called me a masochist, rolled their eyes, or just asked, why?
Benghazi, the truth became a web of lies.
From Prologue Projects and Pushkin Industries, this is Fiasco. Benghazi.
What difference at this point does it make?
Listen to Fiasco, Benghazi on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is an iHeart Podcast.